Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. We welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air, online, and on Facebook. And today we continue our study through the Simple Gospel Simply Grace Study Guide. We'll be picking up on page 79, chapter 11. And Bob Christopher, you're free.
Yes, indeed. Well, thank you, Bob. The book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, is divided into three sections. There's life, and that's where this whole gospel message starts. Jesus Christ came that we might have life and have it abundantly. But before he could give us life, he had to take away the thing that killed us, and that's sin. And so we've talked about forgiveness. We talked about life. We talked about forgiveness. When you add the two of those together, you get freedom. That's where the gospel takes us. It takes us into this realm of freedom. Before we knew Christ, we were slaves to sin. We were in bondage. Now we have been set free. D.L. Moody said this, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are free. Mm-hmm. So that's what we have as believers in Christ. Paul put it this way, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So to the question, what is God's will for your life? Freedom is God's answer.
Yes.
That's what he sent Jesus to do, was to set us free. Now, a couple of years ago, I read this book by a guy named Robert Capon. He was an Episcopal priest, a salty guy, a very flavorful guy. And boy, he had a way to say things and put things. And he talked about this freedom. And there's a scary aspect of freedom that oftentimes we don't talk about, but Robert Capon certainly did. And he said, one of the problems with any authentic pronouncement of the gospel is that it introduces us to freedom. So the question to that is, what will we do with our newfound freedom? How will we respond? And that really is the issue. I mean, we see that here in America. You know, we won the Revolutionary War. We won our independence through battle. Then we, ordered our freedom through the Declaration of Independence and through the Constitution. But the real question has always been, how will we sustain it? How will we maintain this freedom? And that really falls to the virtue of its people. And it seems like over the last 200 years, we've been shrinking back from that freedom. And instead of, you know, what a lot of politicians are saying today, we need to progress. Progressiveness really is a return to bondage.
Yes.
And that's what we're seeing in this world today. And the same can be true of us individually. Christ has set us free, but oftentimes we shrink back. Why? Because we're afraid of that freedom. It's unknown to us. It's unknown territory. And so every step into this freedom is a step into the unknown. That's why oftentimes we get scared to death and shrink back, go back to our old ways. Certainly we see that in this world today. There was a study that was done a number of years ago, and it was done by the Bureau of Justice. And the Bureau of Justice in 2005 decided to follow 405,000 prisoners who had been released from prison. They wanted to know what was going to happen with those 405,000 people. And these were prisoners that were released in 30 different states around the country. So here are the findings of that particular study. An estimated two-thirds, that 68%, were arrested for a new crime within 3 years of release from prison. And three-quarters, 77%, were arrested within 5 years. So the Bureau of Justice Statistics announced. And then more than a third of the prisoners who were arrested within 5 years of release were arrested within the first 6 months after release, with more than half arrested by the end of the first year. So what does this tell us? Well, we're afraid of freedom. We don't know how to handle it. So because we don't know how to handle it, we go back to bondage. We see that in the story of Israel as well, and we're gonna look at that in more detail. But first, let's take a look at this passage in Galatians 5:1. And I'll read it again for us. It simply says this: "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." So there's a possibility of being burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Yes. And this is a warning against that. So why did Christ set us free according to this passage?
For freedom.
For freedom, so that we could experience freedom, so that we wouldn't be controlled by those powers and those forces that controlled us before, sin being one of those forces, the world system being another one of those forces, the lies of Satan being another one of those forces. Those things kept us in bondage. They made us think that we were free, but we were really slaves. And so Christ set us free from those things so that we could experience freedom. So how are we to stand in response to this truth?
Firmly.
Firmly. We are to set our feet on the rock of freedom and never be moved from it. Mm-hmm. And that's what God has called us to. Now, what must we guard against as believers in Christ according to this passage?
Yoke of slavery.
The yoke of slavery, being burdened again mm-hmm. by that yoke of slavery. So, Richard, describe to us what that yoke of slavery is. What does it entail? How would we know that it's being put upon our shoulders again? How can we discern that?
Well, in the context of the whole letter of the Galatians, Paul could only be talking about one thing, and that's the law. Now, in his case, he was talking about the Mosaic Covenant, and the Judaizers wanted people to be circumcised in order to demonstrate their salvation, to accept an identity as a member of Israel rather than as a child of God. And so Paul was saying, don't go back there, because if you accept any part of it, you've accepted every part of it. There's no question, there's no choice otherwise. Well, we say today quite often, well, that's not true for us, of course, because we know that that ceremonial law was taken away. Well, notice what we've just done. We've taken away part of that covenant and say, well, we've got to keep this other part of the covenant. And no, you get the whole thing if you take any of it. And so putting ourselves under any form of law, any form of performance orientation, any form of saying, if you do this, God will know that you belong to him. If you do this, you'll demonstrate you're saved. Any of that thinking, any of the behavior modification, the outside-in approach to life is a guarantee of slavery.
Absolutely. So Paul kind of said it this way in Romans chapter 4, "Now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as
Correct.
An obligation." So many people approach God from that works contract standpoint. We do something good. We think we earn, we rightly earn a reward, and
yes.
we expect God to
pay us,
to reward us with
yeah.
that. And it is a pay for play type of thing.
Yeah, it is.
But that system is not the way of God. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus. It's always God initiating to us promises and blessings that are received through faith. We don't earn those things. God just bestows those things upon us in Jesus Christ. So in receiving Christ, in receiving him by grace through faith, we've been set free from that works contract.
Yes.
That works program. That's the way of the world. We've escaped it. So anything that tries to push us back there is that yoke of slavery. And we need to stand firm, and we need to be aware of that. And when we see it, to move away from it as quickly
yeah.
as possible. Why? Because God wants us free. Now, that's sometimes difficult because we still have those old legalistic imprints mm-hmm. in our minds, that old way of doing things. We come into this world naturally afraid of God. We're fearful of his punishment. So we try to do things to keep that from happening. So that's the old works contract. We're trying to negotiate mm-hmm. with God. And what's the guy that we see on the plane and all the plane magazines? It's not...
Oh, Chester Karras or somebody like that. You only get what you negotiate.
That's right.
That's his tagline.
So we think in those terms as far as God is concerned. Well, that's not freedom.
No.
That's not freedom at all. But that's kind of our old way of doing things. And sometimes we shrink back to that. And we go back to slavery. We go back to bondage. I know our kids today, Caitlin is out of the house and working and on her own. Coleman is working and finding his way in the world today. Mackenzie is second year in college. And we're at a stage of parenting, Gina and I, where we need to let go. And let them be free to make their own decisions, to do their own things, and to rise or fall and experience the consequences of their choices.
Yeah.
We need to let them go to do that. Now, that goes against our tendencies to want to hang on. You know, as parents, we do. We want to hang on. We don't want to let them go because what if they make the wrong mistake? But the longer that we hold on, the crueler we become to them.
Yes.
And that's what legalism is to us. It's a cruel parent. The grace of God sets us free so that we can truly experience freedom. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to come to grips with, and that's what we need to really understand, that God genuinely wants us to be free, and he's actually equipped us by the giving to us of the Holy Spirit. He's actually equipped us to handle freedom. Even though there's voices out there that says, you can't handle that freedom.
No.
God says, yes, you can.
Yes, you can. Well, friends, you are listening to the Basic Gospel Friday Study Series from the Simple Gospel Simply Grace Study Guide with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you're with us today. You'll find the book and the study guide when you visit the special website, SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. That's a long, long title, but it's all run together, one word, basically, SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. We want to thank the many of you who support Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts. The words of Jesus are always true, but never more so than today. The fields indeed are ripe unto harvest. The need is great, and Basic Gospel has the answer to the heart needs of people everywhere. We ask you to step up and help us get that message out, that answer. Get it out to the ears and hearts that desperately, so desperately need to hear it. Will you join with us today with a gift? Your gift through Basic Gospel may well mean the difference in someone's life this very day. Click donate on any page at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. This freedom was foretold to us, foreshadowed in the story of Israel.
Yes.
And we want to spend a little bit of time today kind of reviewing that story. And we're going to go all the way back to Jacob and his 12 sons and to his favorite, Joseph. Now, Joseph certainly was the favorite, and that didn't play too well with his brothers. They were none too happy about that. Richard, tell us what happened with Joseph and with his brothers and how God used that in a very wonderful way for them.
Well, Joseph was one of the younger of the sons, and generally speaking, favoritism went from oldest to youngest. And since he was the favorite, that means he was being held above all of his other brothers. And it didn't help that he had dreams. And he had different kinds of dreams. And all of the time they talked about him being in charge and his family bowing down to him. And you know, this just didn't set well at all. And Jacob loved him so much, doted on him so much that he made him this very special coat, and the brothers just said, that's it, we're done. So they had a business trip. They took the flocks, finding water and food, you know, way out in the desert someplace, and Jacob was wondering, how are they doing? So I'll send Joseph. Joseph, go find out what's going on. And when they saw him coming, I believe the Bible says, one of them said, here comes that dreamer. This is not boding well for Joseph. And they wanted to kill him on the spot. They were all agreed that something had to be done. Thankfully, Simeon the oldest said, no, we're not going to kill him. So they threw him in a pit to try to decide what they're going to do. And then, you know, Midianite traders come wandering by, you know, their caravan. And this, well, I've got a good idea. Yeah. Let's sell him. So they did. And he's just sent off to Egypt. You know, you're never going to hear from him again. He's as good as dead, but we didn't kill him. You know, our hands are clean.
Right.
No blood on our hands. So they took his coat and they killed one of the animals and sprinkled blood all over it and eventually went home and said, look what we found. We're afraid Joseph's dead. A wild animal got him. And so now we've got Joseph supposedly dead and Jacob is heartbroken. And yet in all of this, Jacob was holding in his heart something different. When he heard these dreams, he was as put off by them as anybody else, but he said, why would God be giving my son these dreams if it weren't going to be true? And now he's got a coat with blood all over it, and he says, well, God, is it true or not? And, you know, it goes on and on, and Joseph ends up at Potiphar's house, and he's the chief servant of Potiphar, and he's falsely accused by Potiphar's wife of trying to seduce her and ends up in prison. And there's nothing in his life that goes well. I mean, he works hard, he's conscientious, he's talented, he's well-liked, except that everything fails. And he ends up in prison, and these two guys, one's the cupbearer, one's the baker, have dreams, and he interprets the dreams, and the dreams come through true within 3 days. And one of them is raised back to his position, that's the cupbearer, and the baker ended up being killed. And what the cupbearer agreed to do was to tell Pharaoh about Joseph and how nice he was and didn't deserve to be in prison. Cupbearer promptly forgot the whole thing. Eventually, Pharaoh has a dream. The cupbearer says, oh, I know this guy that can interpret dreams.
Yeah.
He happens to be in prison right now, but you know, if you call this Joseph guy, so Pharaoh calls Joseph. Joseph, under the power of God, interprets the dream and says, you've got to deal with what's coming. There's going to be 7 years of incredible positive results for all of your flocks and herds and your crops. If you don't take steps to save that stuff, there's 7 years of famine coming, and if you haven't saved it, everybody's going to die. You'll lose the whole country. And Pharaoh said, well, that sounds like a good idea. Why don't you take that job? And he makes Joseph second in command in all of Egypt.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It is amazing how God worked that out. And, you know, it all worked out because of hatred and jealousy
yes.
that his brothers had toward him.
Mm-hmm.
And those are powerful forces, and they make you do incredible things that you will soon regret.
Yeah.
But none of that thwarts the plan of God.
No.
And certainly God was using all of this to accomplish his ultimate plan for the people of Israel. Now, all of this is a setup for a fulfillment of what God had said to Abraham a number of years earlier. So back in Genesis 15:13, the Lord said to Abram this, know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. Okay, so this whole story with Joseph and his brothers is the setup to get the people of Israel down to Egypt.
Yes.
And originally they came because there was a famine in the land. So that dream came to fruition. There was a famine. Joseph had prepared for
yes.
that. There was grain, plenty of grain stored up. So Egypt became the place.
Yeah.
Refugees from all over were streaming into Egypt just to find food. That included Jacob and all of Joseph's brothers.
Yeah.
Jacob said, go down and see if you can get some grain. And so we're going to pick up with some of the story there. In chapter 40, 41 of Genesis, You had just said that, Joseph was going to be put in charge of the whole land. We see that there. And then in Genesis 41:57, and all the world came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe everywhere. I mean, it wasn't just local. Egypt. It was everywhere in the Middle East. So Egypt had the store of food. Everybody wanted to go to Egypt. So in Genesis 42, 2 through 5, he said this, "I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy some for us so that we may live and not die." So the famine was so severe that this thing was going to bring death to people if something didn't happen. And so Jacob was saying, "I've heard there's grain down in Egypt. Go down there and buy some for us so that we may live and not die." Then 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain from Egypt. But Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brother, with the others because he was afraid that harm might come to him. So Israel's sons were among those who went to buy grain, for there was famine in the land of Canaan also. So how many of Jacob's family went to Egypt, according to that passage?
First time, 10.
10, okay. And then we go on. We're going to pick up the story in Genesis 46. And in verses 3 through 4, he says, "I am God, the God of your father." He said, "Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down to Egypt with you, and I will surely bring you back again. And Joseph's own hand will close your eyes."
Yeah.
So what is he telling us there? What's going to happen for Jacob and his family?
Well, God specifically planned for them to go there. They were given the land of Goshen. It was a very favorable location. It served to help them grow as a family. In fact, they grew into a nation, an entire nation. And you know, God's hand was on this. He needed them to develop there in a way that was unique to his plan. And then, of course, Pharaoh becomes afraid of them because they're getting too big to manage. But notice that they had to go to Egypt for a period of time. Well, who else had to go to Egypt?
Jesus had to go to Egypt. Absolutely.
You know, and so as if he didn't go to Egypt, he would have been killed. If they didn't go to Egypt, the family would have died. There would have been no Israel. And so God is painting these pictures, and it's almost beyond belief.
It is almost beyond belief. So they went down there as a matter of life.
Yes.
It was a life decision, and God rescued them basically by that whole plot as far as Joseph was concerned. His brothers meant it for evil. God meant it for good. It saved the people of Israel. They landed in Egypt. They grew as a nation, but soon they became enslaved.
Yes.
And that's what the Exodus is all about, and that's what we'll pick up on next time.
Next time? Well, we're glad you joined us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Good stuff today, guys. Thank you so much. Friends, again, you can find the book Simple Gospel, Simply Grace and the companion study guide when you visit SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. Again, that's SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. You know, the Gospel of John chapter 4, Jesus said, "Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." You know, the words of Jesus were never more true than they are today, friends, and the fields are ripe indeed to harvest. The need is great, and Basic Gospel has the answer to the heart needs of people everywhere, people whose souls and spirits are ready to hear, believe, and live in the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you to help us get that answer out to ears and hearts that are desperately in need of hearing it. Will you join with us today with a gift? Your gift through Basic Gospel probably will mean the difference in someone's life. Click Donate on any page at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Well, we're glad that you've joined us today. And friends, if you have a question that you'd like to pose, you can go to our website, basicgospel.net/ask, and pose your question in your own voice or in writing. We'd love to address that next week on Basic Gospel. Well, that does it for this edition, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel.